fear is something that will rule you and grab a hold of your heart with no basis connected to it. Fear will dictate to you the decisions and the choices that you make in your future going forward. Someone said the definition for fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear will, it'll take the wind out of you. It'll come upon you out of nowhere, and it'll cause you to just go numb, and you don't even know where it come from sometime. And I just want to give you a couple thoughts tonight, and I'm going to do these quickly. If you ever deal with this, if you ever battle with fear, if it's a part of your life at all, you should pull a pen and a paper, something out somewhere. You should just write these down, because writing them down will help you remember, and it'll ignite when the enemy tries to come to you and speak things to your life that tries to cause you to be fearful. And you look at this and say, no, this is not true. God will use this to help you. Number one, refuse to live your life with suspicion and resentment. Jeffy, if you could, if you guys and Paulie could make those words bigger up there, I don't know how you do that, but if you can, it would be great. Refuse to live your life with suspicion and resentment. Nothing will steal your peace and your rest more than these enemies. Listen to me. Suspicion puts your wildest imaginations into motions, and resentment will eat at you like a cancer. Refuse to live your life with these things, with the suspicion, always wondering, what is somebody thinking about me? What did somebody say? What is this one doing? And what is that one doing? We're always wondering, and they're unfounded, and they have no basis. Resentment builds something up in your heart that eats away at your life. Resentment against what somebody did or said, or what they didn't do or what they didn't say. It has been said that jealousy is as cruel even as the grave. Resentment. Suspicion breeds jealousy, and resentment, it'll spawn hatred in your life towards people. And the Bible says that those things will cause you to have fear come over your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with malice. And what's the antidote? To be kind one to the other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do you know? You and I have no reason to hold resentment or anger or hatred against others, because Jesus has cleansed us and he's forgiven us of our sin. And if he held it against us, the things that we've done, we'd be in pretty rough shape tonight, wouldn't we? Psalm 91:3 says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And the enemy is trying to trap you and I and keep you and I held down into a place of fear, so we will not do the things that God has called us to do. Number two, refuse to live in the past or be preoccupied with mistakes and failures. Did you hear that tonight? It is good to learn from our past mistakes. Oh my goodness, it is. In order so we won't repeat them. But we can't dwell on them and let them mold us into something that God wants to deliver us from, because they'll control our lives. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our faults, if we confess our sin before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Now, if God can forgive you, you can forgive you. Come on tonight. Paul says in Philippians 3, forget those things which are behind, reach forward unto the things which are before us, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. You have to refuse to live in your past. If you do, it'll define who you become in your future. Number three, refuse, this is so good, refuse to waste time and energy fighting conditions over which you have no control. Waste your time on fighting over things you can't control. You can't control sometimes the way people treat you. You can't control it. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was driving down the road, and this guy come up around me, and he got mad at me. I don't know, for something. I mean, I'm a great driver. And he came up next to me, and I looked over at him, and he was talking to me, and it didn't look like it was favorable. And then he sends me a signal with his hand. And I'm wondering, right then and there, I could involve myself in the way he was feeling. Are you listening to me? But I refuse to waste my time and my energy in that. Come on, you need to do that too. You can get trapped in the peripheral of distractions that may have a tendency to consume you or point you in a direction that will literally overcome who you are as a person. Let it go, move on, and don't let it have any part of who you are. Submit, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. You got to sometimes, you got to resist it. You have to refuse. Listen to me tonight. Refuse to waste your time on nonsense. Don't get caught up in that. The Bible says in Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, he's saying, today, you got enough to deal with today. Quit worrying about what could happen tomorrow that's not even happening yet. My goodness. I'm just making myself happy up here, whether you are or not. Number four, listen to this. Stay connected to others and don't become a recluse. Jesus said, I pray that thou should not take them out of this world, but that thou should keep them or protect them from the evil that is in the world. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. John 17, verses 15 and 16. What is he saying here? Don't separate yourself. Don't hide out. Don't keep yourself from other people, and don't even keep yourself from the things of the world. God has put you in the world for a reason. That you can be a light to the world and you can help others. It's not God's will for you and I to hide from humanity. It is God's will for you and I to walk through humanity and be a light and an encouragement to people that are around you. Stay connected to people. Get away from the habit of secluding yourself. Number five. I told you I was going to roll. Refuse. This will help you with fear. Refuse to engage in self-pity when life gets tough. I drink to that. Do I need to say it again or can you read it? Refuse to engage in self-pity when life gets tough. When calamity came to Job, he stated this in Job chapter 2 and verse 10. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and we shall not receive any evil? He wasn't saying God was handing out evil, but guess what? Life sometimes hands you some difficulty. And am I going to sit around when things are getting tough and just, oh, why is this always happening to me today like this? Because you aren't going to change anything. And when you act like that, you bring that spirit of fear into your life that begins to consume who you are. And some of you need to loose yourself from that attitude and that action and trust the power of God's Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. You don't have it that bad. I said, you don't have it that bad. I was sitting with a guy today and we were just talking And I was telling him, you know, I don't get depressed. If I feel low or anything, I mean, I don't go and cover myself up. When I get down, I eat. Help me, Jesus. But I don't engage in that self-pity. And I said, he says, well, how does that happen? And I said, because when I was younger, and I lost both my parents before I was 17 years old, and I was homeless, I didn't figure anything. I didn't think it could get any worse than that. Lost a brother, my sister, my mom and dad by the time I was 17 and I was homeless. So I said, anything beyond that right now is really good. We might go through some difficulty. We might go through some hard time. But God, he helps us through that. The last thing we can do, and the enemy loves it when we engage in this attitude of self-pity, just because things are a little tough and we want to adopt a foolish attitude. We want to start blaming God. Why is this trouble coming to me? Charles Spurgeon said this, many men owe the grandeur of their lives to their tremendous difficulties. A.W. Tozer said that it's unlikely that God will use anyone greatly until they've been wounded deeply. Jesus said, the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Even in the middle of a time of difficulty, he'll help you through that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, comes around as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You know what that word may there means? That we give him access into our life to bring that fear and to begin to devour who we are. And you don't have to. The Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has good for you and I. You can make it through the challenges and the difficulty in your life. And if you're going to push fear out of your life, you're going to have to accept what God says about you. Amen. Number six, cultivate healthy virtues. Listen, good habits are made by consistently doing the things that are right and good over and over and over again. Good habits. I get up every morning. I get up and I wonder why. Sometimes why. I'm leaving a nice, comfortable bed. My alarm clock is going off. I'm like, "That you are the devil. It's 10 minutes to 5. What am I doing?" And I'm getting up and I'm strolling out. And, I'm thinking, okay, by the time I'm doing this, I'm creating a healthy habit and a healthy virtue by doing what I do over and over and over again. You don't do something one or two times and say, okay, I'm all done now. It didn't work, so I'm just going to go back to my old bad habit. Because when you do that, the smallest element of things will come in and try to take over your life. You got to practice them. This is for somebody tonight. You need to cultivate good, healthy, godly habits in your life. Honor is doing the right thing. Not just because it's comfortable, but because what, Chris Buzniak? It's right. You do the right thing, not because it's easy, not because it just comes our way. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Cultivate healthy virtues in your life. This will eliminate the element of fear trying to take over in your life. Number seven, establish some reasonable goals accompanied by realistic standards of self-expectations. Don't say you're going to do something tomorrow that you've never done before, and you're going to accomplish it in 2 or 3 days. You got to set a reasonable goal that you can make it. Maybe you're going to read the Bible this year. Maybe you can do that in a year. Maybe you can show up at church every Sunday for a year. Maybe you can come to a Bible study during the middle of the week for a year. Establish something reasonable with a realistic standard of a self-expectation. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's what you eat. And by the way, when Ryan said 2 breakfasts this morning, they were very, very tiny breakfasts this morning. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God. He always causes us to triumph. You know the winner, Jesus, is living inside of you, and you can do what you don't think you are capable of doing. Come on today. You got strength inside of you. You got power and anointing. You can do things that you never thought you could do. And last, number eight, believe in something bigger than just you. I like this. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you can believe, in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. You can believe, you can go, you can do something that's bigger and beyond your stretch, more than you ever thought possible. Amen. Come on, do you receive that tonight? I told you I was going fast. Look at that. All right. Going to get that fear. Not going to live with fear in our lives. Going to move on beyond that tonight. I want to pray, and then I just want to encourage you. And I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. Just for a moment, I'm going to close in prayer here. Thank you, God, for your kindness to us. What a beautiful night in God's house tonight. Precious, precious time. I pray, God, that tonight, that if anybody is dealing, even they're here tonight and they secretly deal with fear, you get up every day and it's a battle, they face it. I ask you tonight, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help them overcome that. Just with your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a minute, I just want to talk to you. Under that same anointing that Ryan was talking about, somebody said, do you tell your dad everything we talk about? He doesn't have to. The Holy Spirit, he can. And he can do that right now to your life. I want to speak to somebody tonight. God wants to lift you up out of that you fear the most. Fear failure. Fear that you're not going to be able to keep going. Fear you don't know what it is. Maybe in your family. Maybe it's a decision that you are processing in your life and you don't know if you make it, you're fearing what are the consequences. Let me encourage you tonight with your eyes closed just for a moment that if you do what's right before the Lord, that he will always honor that. He will always honor. He'll always help you. Thank you, God. I just sense his kindness so much. Right now, just your eyes closed. Just open your hands up to him tonight. Say, God, fill me. God, release fear from my life tonight. Help me to be everything that you have called and created me to be. Touch my life tonight, God, in a way that it will never be forgotten. Give you thanks for it, God. I pray for each one that is here tonight that you would keep them and bless them and bring hope and great life to them, and that you will be their answer in all the desires and all the needs of their life tonight, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I love you. Now listen to me. Don't you leave without going out back. Because we bought a ton of stuff and we just want to hang out for a few minutes together before you leave. Okay, will you do that? And if anybody needs prayer, I'm going to stay right up here just for a few minutes. And I'll help you. I'll pray for you. I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace tonight. Make sure to you tell Debbie happy birthday. You tell Ken Jenks goodbye. And you say hello to Nicole. Okay? I love you so much. God bless you.